to sing. Thank God you hellhounds are gone. Oh, thank God you hellhounds are gone. He didn't know how much longer God would let you go on. Watching you take and undermine Pete. Watching you try to wreck the ministry. Your mouths and emails have gone on too long. Thank God you hellhounds are gone. Your hellhounds are gone. Life got brighter when you slithered on. Your empty pew is a beautiful sight as you rode off into the night. It may sound kind of cruel, but it's been silent too long. Thank God you hellhounds are gone. Thank God you hellhounds.
Heart of mine, I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. We are the branches, he is the vine. I have a spine, so I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true when I get down on my knees and pray to you. God's word is master of all I say and do. His will is mine, I walk the line. Day and night, his word shows me what's wrong and what is right. I have a spine, I walk the line. I face temptation every single day, but my Jesus always makes a way. He provides my escape every time. I have a spine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. We are the branches and he is the vine. I have a spine, so I walk the line. I have a spine, so I walk the line.
Welcome to Poor Church of Christ. Well, you can tell it is live. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. I do appreciate it, and I hope that you're having a blessed day. The message that we had by Pastor Peters was titled, The Real Hate Group. And I thought it was just, there's a lot of... He hit a lot of topics, and it was just a timeless message, and that's one of my favorite messages, and I really enjoyed it. Wanted to play it. I know it was a lengthy message. So I'll try to be brief. But I did want to tell everybody out there that I had run this in the Real Hate Group in a newsletter article within the last couple of months. And I printed up a bunch of these Real Hate Group booklets. And if you would like one of those, just write to me and I will send it to you free of charge. Had some people that have been ordering lots of them and passing them out. And I think it's a fantastic book. But if you'd like one, just write to me at the post office box and we'll make sure and get it to you. Before we get started, I guess we're going to have a song. This one is Jesus is Coming.
On the water, and he raised up the dead, and we teach all the children that he died for our sins, but something's gone wrong. This world's in a bend. Jesus is coming, and boy is he dead. He looked down on the homeless and the rape of the land. Seen the preachers and lawyers with blood on their hands. Politicians, beware, 'cause there's a loophole you've missed. Jesus is coming.
Clock ticks. Jesus coming is sooner. And oh boy, is he ticked.
So the earthquakes and rumbles and the floods like a curse and the hatred and the cry.
Is coming
and more.
Sometimes Justice's dyslexia is as bad as his dad, so bear with us. I think we better pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we just pray, Father, that you bless us as we do, as we come and commune with you, Lord. We pray that you shine your face down upon us. I thank you for this time that we can put away the cares of the world and seek you and your face and your ways, Lord. I pray, Father, for this nation, and I pray that you just continue to awaken your people to the lies, continue to expose the corruption, and continue to expose those deeds of darkness, the deeds that have been done in darkness, and continue to bring them to light. Lord, I pray, Father, let them be caught in their plots. I just lift up your people across this nation and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this nation. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Well, started off with the song, Thank God the Hellhounds Are Gone. And I don't know why, I think it was just, it had been on my mind since yesterday, and that song had been on my mind. And, you know, since I've been coming to this church here for almost 40 years, 38, I think, 37, and you know, we've seen people come and go. And I've seen people that have went off and tried to start their ministries. And it's interesting, and, you know, you just kind of cringe sometimes. And you see somebody that leaves the ministry, and then they want to start their own ministry, which is good. And I remember talking with Pastor Peters about it. We need people to, you know, go out there and start churches and preach the gospel and spread the good news. But so many times we've seen people that have, you know, left the ministry, and they start their ministry, and their ministry is to attack this ministry. And they attack and slander and sow seeds of dissension. And, you know, when you see somebody like that go, thank God those hellhounds are gone. So anyway, that's why I played that song. Wanted to start off with, well, I want to start off by reading. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 6. We're going to start in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayers and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Next, I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. And then to 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. These are the evil days of spoken of in Scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of this darkness, of wickedness in the heavenly places. Right now, the world celebrates what it calls Pride Month, boasting in sin. Rebellion and immorality as if it were a virtue. Yet Scripture is very clear. God hates pride. Proverbs 8:13 declares, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and evil and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Proverbs 16:8 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. James 4:6 adds, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The world's pride is disgusting to God. Openly parading sin is something to celebrate, but sin is nothing to be proud of. It is rebellion against the Creator, the very thing that brought death and judgment into the world. True strength is not found in worldly pride, but in humility before God and in being armed with his full armor. At the heart of this armor, the Apostle Paul reveals three mighty virtues: faith, hope, and love, that empower and complete the full armor. These are not optional. They are essential for the remnant, people of God, as the world systems darkens. Today, by the authority of Scripture, we will examine how we are called to be armed with faith, hope, and love, with the full armor of God. The breastplate. In Ephesians 6:14, we are told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 directly links this to the breastplate of faith and love. Faith is certainly one of the things hoped for, a proof of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Love is the fulfillment of God's commands, for this is the love of God, and that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5:3. Together, faith and love from the breastplate that guards our heart, the seat of our will and affections. The righteousness is received by faith in Christ and lived out in covenant obedience to God's law and his word. It protects us from the accusations of the enemy and empowers the holy living in a lawless age. The helmet, the hope of salvation, Ephesians 6:17, commands us to take the helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 clarifies this as the hope of salvation. Biblical hope is confident expectation grounded in the promises of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1-5 teaches, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we exalt in hope and glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This helmet guards our minds against despair, doubt, and the lies of the enemy, including the false pride promoted by the world. As the world darkens, the hope of full salvation keeps us sober and alert. You know, it was interesting this week. Me and Justice had some errands to run in town, and we were running around and decided there was a new restaurant in town that we were going to try, and was not aware that it was Pride Month. And we walked in, and they had this big sign, and it's just, they put it right in front of your face, and looked at the sign, and it was the rainbow flag there, and they were donating to the LGBTQ community, and there was quite a few people there, and I looked at it and read it, and then you could get rainbow sprinkles on a milkshake for an extra 50 cents, and the 50 cents would be donated to the LGBTQ community. And we turned around and walked out, and I was expressing myself rather loudly, I guess. I didn't think it was that loud, but there was people that were, they were, two ladies that were near us, and they started laughing, and then they turned to me and they said, "Yeah, you're right." And they continued to go into the restaurant, and I don't know, it was just interesting. But you know, you see so much of this evil and this wickedness in the land, and it just you know, it just kept occurring to me as I see it. It's like, you know, and Pastor Peter's touched on it in this message, and it was, you know, that pride, the pride of man. And, you know, it is going to be to their destruction. They're proud of it, and God hates it. And, you know, they hate God. You know, I believe that Jesus is coming, and boy, is he ticked. That's why I wanted to play that song this morning. And I hope what I had to say made sense to you. I do have a scriptural insight and study that we're going to have in just a minute. This is one of my favorite ones. And it's called Just Say No to Thugs. But also I wanted to remind people that, you know, this is June 7th and tomorrow is June 8th, which is USS Liberty Day. And last year we had an interview with Phil Turney, and it was a fantastic interview. And we do have that. We'll be playing it on the network several times tomorrow. And but if you'd like it on CD, just write to us, and we'll make sure that you get it. It was a really good interview, and it was 59 years ago from tomorrow when the attack on the Liberty, and 34 men lost their lives that day, and 171 were wounded, and it was a story. If you don't know about it, it's worth reading about. There's plenty of YouTube videos, documentaries on it. And I did put a short piece that I was able to put together for the Dragon Slayer newsletter and on that. And hopefully you got your newsletter. I've heard from a couple people that they got them yesterday. So hopefully if you haven't received it, it should be in the mail any day now. So I talked to a man in Florida who received his yesterday, and a man in Texas received his yesterday. So praise the Lord, they're getting there. And we'll go ahead and have that scriptural insight study with Pastor Peters, and then we'll be back for communion. Yeah! That's not... Is it? Is that...
It is time for Scriptural Insight and Study with circuit riding preacher Peter Peters. Now heard and seen on satellite, television, radio, internet, and shortwave worldwide. Nestled in the Laramie River Valley of Still Wild Wyoming, near Laramie, Wyoming, sits a working cattle and horse ranch known as the Radio Ranch, home base of a cowboy circuit riding preacher named Peter. There, Pastor and Dr. Peter John Peters broadcast live nightly on the 24/7 Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Check out sfawbn.com. Pastor Peters grew up in the West in the cowboy tradition and is still a cowboy. An ex-rodeo and trick rider who is now a circuit riding preacher and teacher in both Wyoming and Colorado. He has preached at the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, for the past 30 years. Like the holy prophets of old, he does not spare the truth of God's word as he lovingly teaches and preaches with a take it or leave it common sense cowboy logic. He rides for the brand and the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus came to the common man with the word of God and common sense. And so comes saddle-savvy Pastor Peters with common sense and cowboy logic in this scriptural insight and study.
Greetings in the blessed holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the saints of the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. Of course, I'm Pastor Peters, and this is another scriptural insight Bible study. We're going to do a lot of studying from the Bible this time. I love to read the Bible, and I love to read the stories in the Bible of bravery. But I've got another book I've been reading. I want to talk to you about that. I entitled this scriptural insight and study simply a true story of bravery. When you read the stories in the Bible, stories of faith, they'll encourage you and they'll strengthen you. And you'll find in those stories that quite often God will put a person in a position. If there's going to be a miracle, there has to be, well, I often say it this way. If you want a Red Sea deliverance, now that was a miracle. Bible story, that's true. All Bible stories, of course, are, but it's a true story that few people really know about. The ones that do, they like to read about it perhaps, but never think about this point, do they? And that is that in order to have a Red Sea deliverance, you have to have a Red Sea predicament. And so that's a true story, and they were actually put in a spot, a life or death spot. And there's a lot of stories like that in Scripture where they've been put in positions where either, well, I just call it standing. In fact, I think I might follow this scriptural insight study with a sermon in our series of sermons on faith that has to do with taking a stand. But anyway, with all that said, I was reading this book the other day. It's called The Apostolic Fathers. And let me tell you a little bit about the writings of the Apostolic Fathers and why the writings of the Apostolic Fathers, why they're so interesting. Because they are the ones that lived about the time of the apostles. Now, they're not the apostles. Their writings are not inspired like the apostle Paul or Peter or John or anything like that. But you got to remember, there were men at that time, at the apostolic writers' time, that actually saw Paul and Peter and John. One of the men that I'm going to lead us to in this story of bravery was a man by the name of Polycarp. He was a man that had been a disciple of the Apostle John. And one of the reasons I enjoy reading their writings is the fact that you're getting it from not necessarily the horse's mouth, as the saying goes, but you're getting it from those that got it from the horse's mouth. So when you read some of the writings of those that lived back there in the first and second century, you're reading what they got from the apostles and what they were writing to one another. Well, in the story of Polycarp, we have a story of bravery. It applies to today. Now, I'm hesitant in one respect to tell the story because it only gives one side of the coin. One side of a coin, and the other side's not been made known for quite some time in this war that's being waged between good and evil. There's a reason the Scriptures call Christians soldiers. There was a reason Paul said to suffer hardships as a good soldier. We're involved in following the commander-in-chief. He's the king of kings. And when we only understand one side of the coin in this battle that's going on, we get a lopsided view of the battlefield, so to speak. And maybe I'll come back to that thought as I give you this story. Now, most of the stories that we get at this time, which is 2,000 years removed from the time of Christ's ascension, are the stories of the martyrs. We don't hear the stories of the martyrs. Now, there is a book that we carry on the ministry called The Drama of the Lost Disciples. And in that story of The Drama of the Lost Disciples, it talks about how Christian soldiers that picked up the sword fought the Roman legions to a standstill there in the British Isles. But it's like there's been a conspiratorial preaching and teaching in the pulpits today that all we ever hear is about the martyrs, and we never hear about the martyrs. My friends, there was a reason Jesus said to sell your robe and buy a sword if need be. And maybe I'll get to that part of it. So that's why I'm hesitant in one respect to tell you this story, because this is a story of a martyr. But we're living in a time that's really coming right down to a very simple concept. A concept that we might have to get back in our minds. And this story that I'm going to give you about Polycarp. Remember, Polycarp was, now he was the bishop, I think, of the church in, I forget which bishop, which church he was a bishop of. But he was a faithful man, and it was into his 80s when, at that time, the government brought on a great persecution onto the Christians, because the system that existed in that day was threatened. And when the Christians started saying a simple two-letter word, the whole empire was about to crumble. And maybe, without getting off onto a sermon on that, maybe that's where we're at today. And maybe Christians need to learn that two-letter word. The Christians said it in their day. Polycarp said it. What is it? No. I mean, the system has told us, just say no. Well, it might be to that point now where we have to just say no. They've already passed a hate law that says it's against the law to hate fags. Well, I want you to know something right now. I've said no. No, I'm going to break that law. By the way, if you hear the, I forgot to shut off my cell phone, so I'm not going to answer it. Well, let's see who it is. Hello? No, I'm doing a scriptural insight 101, and you called me right in the middle of it. Can I call you back? Oh, okay. Just say no to thugs. I'm just talking right now. I must be leading the Holy Spirit. I'm actually talking in front of the camera, doing a scriptural insight and study, and I've just got done telling them about saying no. Now, tell me what you just said. All right, I'll tell them that. But I got to go, okay? Bye. This is one of my Acres of Diamond men, and we were talking about it the other day, about just saying no, and he said, hey, I know the title of that sermon that you need to preach is Just Say No to Thugs. How do you like that? I like that, too. Just say no. Now, you tell me the Holy Spirit's not leading. I'll go ahead and shut this cell phone off. Jason always tells me to do it before I come on the air, but I'm glad I didn't do it that time, aren't you, Jason? Just say no to thugs. Well, thugs, what do you mean thugs? What if somebody, I talked to a man just this week, and he told me this story. He was sitting on his couch reading his Bible when two cops came to his door. And he asked them what they were there for. And he said, well, somebody's going to jail. He said, who? He said, whoever didn't make the phone call. Turned out his demon-possessed wife, this is kind of a switch in the story, who was involved in pornography, neck deep. She called the cops and gave a false report on this man, and he went to jail. Now, there was a time when a man sat in his house, and if somebody came, a couple of thugs came to his house and said, we're going to haul you off. You didn't do anything, but we're going to haul you off, and then in order for you to get back to your home, you're going to have to pay money to get out of jail. That would be to me, thugs, wouldn't you? If you were out there on the prairie in a sod house or a log house, and the Indians came, knocked on your door and said, we're going to haul you off because we just decided that we don't want you there. Was that wrong for that Christian man to say no? Was it wrong to say, I'm going to defend my life, liberty, and property? You see, that's where we've come in this country. And don't think they're not planning on trying to haul off some like they did old Polycarp. Now, Polycarp was 80-some years old. He didn't have a sword or a Mini 14 and probably didn't have the strength that a younger man had had in those days. And they didn't just willingly go to the Roman amphitheater. Let me read the story because the time's going by, and I want to take it from this book called Apostolic Fathers. Let's see here. I'll start in the middle of the story. Now, when at last he finished his prayer after remembering everyone who had ever come into contact with him, both small and great, known and unknown, and all the universal church throughout the world, it was time to depart, and so they seated him on a donkey and brought him into the city on the day of a great Sabbath. Herod, the police captain, and his father, Nicetas, came out to meet him. After transferring him to their carriage and sitting down at his side, they tried to persuade him, saying, "Why? What harm is there in saying Caesar is Lord?" That's all he had to do. If he wanted to save his life, all he had to do was say, "Caesar is Lord." And offering incense, that's one of the things they had Christians do, was break incense to the bust of Caesar. You see, the Roman Empire, they didn't mind if you wanted to have a god. They were full of gods. But they wanted Caesar recognized as a god. Just like these little small g gods that set up there on Capitol Hill, passing laws that are contrary to the law of God, telling me I can't hate fags. It's time for people to say no. And if you want to get real emphatic, you can say hell no or heaven no or however you want to say it. But we're coming to a time that Christians are going to have to do what Polycarp did. And he just said, no, not going to do it. You know that I'm sitting here in the church, the La Porte Church of Christ, because several years ago I said, no. No, I'm not signing your form. No. You might practice it some. It's not hard to say. You put the tongue at the roof of your mouth and you say, no. Your kids learn that's the first word they ever learn here. They're really good. No. Or at least I tell them that, no, and slap them on the fingers, and they learn it real fast, and the system will learn it fast. And the Roman system learned real fast that they had to do something different when the Christians started saying no. Let me read on, because time will run out on me if I don't. Now, at first he gave them no answer, but when they persisted, he said, "I'm not about to do what you are suggesting to me." Thus, failing to persuade him, they began to utter threats and made him dismount in such a hurry that he bruised his shin as he got down from the carriage. And without even turning around, he went on his way eagerly and quickly as if nothing had happened to him. And as he was led to the stadium, there was such a tumult in the stadium that no one could even be heard. But as Polycarp entered the stadium, there came a voice from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a true story because Christians recorded this, and this has made it down through the centuries. Wouldn't you like to know what that voice was? I could be real mean and say, well, come next week and I'll tell you. But I'll tell you right now. What do you suppose God had to say to Polycarp as he was entering in to this stadium? Men, women screaming, just like at a big Super Bowl stadium. Except they wanted to see action in regards to the lions tearing this Christian apart. What do you suppose God said? The people heard the voice. Some of them understood it, some didn't. I read on. "Be strong, Polycarp, and act like a man." And no one saw the speaker, but those of our people who were present heard the voice. And then as he was brought forward, there was a great tumult when they heard that Polycarp had been arrested. So God said to him, "Polycarp, be strong and act like a man." And I tell you what, some of you men need to get out of these little phony castrating bins called Judeo-Christian churches today and become a man. They're not teaching you to be a man and standing up to the system to just say no. But anyway, this was the real church. Let's drop on down here. So they got him out there. Well, I'll read on. Therefore, when he was brought before him, the proconsul asked if he was Polycarp. If he were Polycarp, and when he confessed that he was, the proconsul tried to persuade him to recant, saying, "Have respect for your age," and other things, such as they are accustomed to say, "Swear by Caesar, the genius of Caesar, repent, say, away with the atheists." Now, so they were putting pressure on Polycarp, and you got to understand the setting. In Rome at that time, they were full of gods, just like we got gods and idols today in our land in a different way. And they saw the Christians as atheists. And that's how Satan works in his system. He always calls you what his people are. But anyway, Polycarp was pressured to say away with the atheist. Now, what do you think Polycarp did? How many of you say Polycarp said, "Away with the atheist"? All right, how many say Polycarp didn't say, "Away with the atheist"? How many of you out there saying, "I'm not saying," because Pastor Peters always sets us up? Well, I read on. What do you say, Jason? What do you think he said? Jason said he's not saying anything. All right. So Polycarp solemnly looked at the crowd, the whole crowd of lawless heathens who were in the stadium, motioned towards them with his hand, and then groaning as he looked up to heaven, and he said, "Away with the atheists." So he said it, but he pointed his finger at them, doing what God said to do, be a man, be strong, and he said, "Away with the atheists." I don't know about you, but I love these true stories of bravery. And so, going on here, away with the atheist. But when the magistrate persisted and said, "Swear the oath, and I will release you, revile Christ," Polycarp replied, "For 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" End of quote there. Whew. I don't know about you out there, but it touches me here. Here was a man who just said no. When he said no, the whole system was coming down. And that no is still echoing after 2,000 years. I'm still reading about it, and people are still hearing about it. But as he continued to insist, "Swear by Caesar, the genius of Caesar," he answered, "If you vainly suppose that I will swear by the genius of Caesar, as you request, and pretend not to know who I am, listen carefully. I am a Christian. Now, if you want to learn the doctrine of Christianity, name a day and give me a hearing." The proconsul said, "Persuade the people." But Polycarp said, "You, I might consider worthy of a reply." Now get this. "For we have been taught to pay proper respect to rulers and authorities appointed by God, as long as it does us no harm." I want to put that through here. These perverts in the pulpits today, we call Judeo-Christians, that pervert the scriptures of Romans 13, they would have you to believe that you have to always obey the authorities. Did Peter obey the authorities when they said, "Don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore"? No, he just said no. Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obey the authorities when they said bow? He said, no. How about Daniel when they passed a hate law? It says it's a hateful thing to pray for the next 30 days. He said, no. He didn't obey. You see, he said here, he says, we have been taught to pay proper respect to rulers and authorities appointed by God as long as it does us no harm. And that's the point. Yes, I teach, you obey the authorities. When a policeman says, stop, this is a roadblock, go this way or that, that's one thing. But when he thinks that he can just start coming in and taking our children, taking us away because we disobeyed Monkey Boy's hate law and so forth and so on, and don't think they're not planning on it, then that is, as they say, a jackass of another color. Now, just let that sink in. It's about time that we start hearing the word no. He says, but as for these, he's talking about the crowd now. He says, I do not think they are worthy that I should have to defend myself before them. Dropping on down because the clock is running down. Then he said to him again, I will have you consume. So the proconsul said, I have wild beasts. I will throw you to them unless you change your mind. But he said, call them for me. For the repentance from better to worse is a change impossible for us. But it is a noble thing to change from that which is evil to righteousness. Old Polycarp said, bring them on. Now, as you read on in the story, as you're going to see here in a moment, do you like this true story of bravery, Jason? He said, bring them on. And he said, okay, you don't like the wild beasts? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Polycarp. I'm going to set you on fire. This is what it says. Then he said to him again, I will have you consumed by fire, since you despise the wild beasts, unless you change your mind. But Polycarp said, you threaten with a fire that burns only briefly, and after just a little while is extinguished? For you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment, which is reserved for the ungodly. But why do you delay? Come, do what you wish. So guess what they did? And guess what the miracle was that happened? It's all right here in the story, but we're running out of time. Oh, isn't that a dirty trick of Pastor Peter's? Not to give you the rest of the story. I tell you what, though. If you'll come to the sermon that I've got planned, I think I'm going to follow up this scriptural insight and study with a sermon that is part 9 in the series on faith that has to do with taking a stand. Polycarp was a brave man. He took a stand. And sometimes when you stand, you have to say, no. There's a lot of different ways you can say it. No. No, thank you, if you want to be a really nice boy and girl. I don't care to partake. Or if you want to be a real nasty, you can say, hell no. You know what stopped the Vietnam War, as I was thinking about it, as I was preparing this scriptural insight study? It's when those old hippies started saying, hell no, we won't go. Now, I'm not saying that they say that. Not at all. Let's just say heavens no. Heavens no. But if nothing else, just say no. There might come a time. And that time came for Polycarp, and he said no. And that no, and others like him saying no, brought down the Roman Empire, the Caesar system, with all their armies, all their might, all their power. And something did happen. And sometimes we have to be at a Red Sea predicament. Moses could have said, okay, The people were wanting to go back, as I understand that Moses story, at the Red Sea. And Moses said, no, we stand right here. No, we're not going back. And that's when the seas opened up and miracles happened, wouldn't you say no? And a miracle happened that day with Polycarp. And if you'll come to the sermon, I got planned for follow-up on this particular story of bravery. I'll tell you about what a miracle was. It was a miracle. And the Lord's still able to make miracles happen. He's not short. What he's short on is men who will be strong and courageous again and stand up and say, I don't care what you do on Capitol Hill, hell. If you think I'm going to go against my God and the kingdom of God, I mean, we're to the point now that there's no redress in the courts. We're seeing what's happening up there on Capitol Hill. They are not representing us, but that's all right. These are exciting times. We need to shore ourselves up in strength and faith and remember, our God is alive and well. Our King is watching and waiting for those that stand up and say no. I hope you'll say yes to Jesus, and I hope you notice in this story that Polycarp said, hey, don't you know there is a fire that burns forever? Ought to get on that sometime, because they knew that there was a fire that burned longer than what they had for Polycarp to burn in. But we don't have any longer time to cover those things. May this, I pray, oh Heavenly Father, may this little lesson, simple as it is, just a story of a brave man, a true story, let it, through the working of your Holy Spirit, be a blessing to the saints. And those that are yours, bless them and keep them, and make your face shine upon them, and be gracious to them. Lift your countenance on them, grant them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
This scriptural insight and study with circuit riding preacher Peter Peters is part of the Sunday morning and serve service at the LaPorte Church of Christ. They can be seen and heard live on the internet site scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher riding circuit includes more than church, for from his radio ranch in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley, his radio, satellite, and internet broadcasts are heard wide on the 24/7 Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. To listen, go to sfawbn.com or listen to WTWW Shortwave Radio, frequencies 5755 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and 948 from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Central Standard Time. WTWW stands for We Transmit Worldwide, even reaching Europe and Russia, where the circuit riding preacher is seen and heard via satellite. The Circuit Riding Preacher Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful who heed God's economic law of 2 Corinthians 9:11, which reads, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? Should you wish to write, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
And we're back. And as we prepare to take communion, start by reading 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to start by reading in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks eats judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned. So then, my brethren, when you come together, eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your communion table, Lord, we plead that blood of Jesus Christ over us. We ask to be forgiven of our sins known and unknown. Lord, we ask that you assist us in the upcoming week. We pray that you purify us, that you purify our hearts, our minds. Lord, we just ask, Father, that we may be pleasing in your sight. Pray, Lord, that we can do a better job in this upcoming week than we did last week. And I pray, Father, that you just continue to do a work in us, Father, that we can be a light into this darkened world. Lord, I pray that you purify us as we do this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You may partake. And stay tuned. In the next hour, we're going to have a message by Pastor Peters titled The Real Hate Group.